So turn with me, please. It's going to be a little bit before we read it, but turn with me, please, to Genesis 22. I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Father, that it is your desire to bring forth revelation to us. I thank you for opening our eyes, opening our hearts, for tuning our ears to your voice, and that you come in our midst and teach us. I thank you, Lord, for your promises, and I thank you that you are so faithful. I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercy. In your precious name, amen. So tonight I'm going to start by going back to a word the Lord gave me. It's actually an experience. I've referred back to it a couple of times, but the Lord has asked me to go back to this word and to cover it again because of where we're at in history, where we're at in the timeline of this experience. This experience was clear back in October of 2021. And the title of this word, and this is on our website, The Hurricane and the Destiny of the Nation. And so I'm going to go through this word, and I'm going to expound on a few things, and then we're going to look at Abraham. Last time I taught, which was 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the six surrenders of Abraham and the revelation that God gave him. After each surrender, there was a revelation that God granted, a higher revelation of himself, a higher revelation of God's plan for Abraham's life. And tonight, we're going to touch on that seventh surrender. And we'll close out with that. So, the hurricane and the destiny of the nation. On this particular morning, the Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. sharp. I was worshiping the Lord while I gathered my things to sit before him. I sat down on the bed, and I was immediately taken up and into a spiritual experience. The Lord pulled me up and took me over the nation. We were face to face with a hurricane. I was taken into the Lord, and we began to pass through these intense storms. They were the rings or rain bands of the hurricane. Each band was miles wide, the next one more intense than the one before it. There were periods of calm, and then we'd move forward into the next rain band. But I was anchored in him, so the winds that surrounded me didn't affect me, but I could hear them and I could see them. I saw thunder and lightning, but I was completely sheltered under the wing of the Almighty. The pathway through the rain bands, with each storm stronger than the previous, continued until we passed through all seven rain bands, through all seven bands. Then we were in the center, the eye of the storm, and I was in him. I don't know how to describe this other than I was in him. Doves flew around us. I could see the massive ring of the storm all around us, but I was safe. I didn't even realize how significant that was until I looked back behind me and saw this, the raging of the storm that we'd just come through. The Lord pulled me closer. I was already in him, but I felt this tightening. So I was in, but he was also holding me. Then a great dread began to fall upon me, and I knew, and we, the Lord and I, began moving forward through the rain band. We went through seven storms, each storm reducing in size, but each ring brought greater levels of this dread, fear, and awe of the Lord, Jehovah, the righteous judge until we were on the other side. I wanted to fall on my face as his righteousness was so prevalent throughout this process. He said to me, justice is coming. When he said this, I felt the words reverberate through my body. It was as the voice of thunder. I asked the Lord. I literally said no words because the terror of the Lord was upon me, but he knew my thoughts. So in my thoughts, I asked him what we just passed through. And he said, justice is coming. There will be seven waves of justice coming to the nation. And when it comes, it'll sweep across this land. We will all feel the justice of God as he brings it down upon our land. Those anchored in him will be safe and protected. As he returned me to my bed, because I had sat on the edge of my bed when he first pulled me up, he dropped into my spirit the seven waves of justice, the seven storms that he was going to deal with. These are in no particular order, but I do want to talk a little bit about each one. President Trump, the church, the unborn, our preborn citizens slaughtered at will. The victims of COVID-19, the elections, the blood of the martyrs, and our flag. So, as we all know, the indictment came from the New York guy for President Trump yesterday. This was the final straw. The FBI went after him August 22, and it was an exposing of the FBI. And I remember just 3 days prior to that, I believe it was 3 days prior to that, the Lord had given me a vision, and he was standing in front of me, and on a table, just a round table, there was a house of cards. You know how when we're kids, we take a deck of cards and we put them in triangles, and then we do another set of triangles opposite direction, and we try to build layer upon layer, stack upon stack, a house of cards. I mean, maybe you never tried that, but, you know, we didn't have video games when I was a kid, so we built house of cards. So the Lord walked up to the table, and he pulled out a card. And when he did, he blew, and that whole house of cards fell down. And that was it. 3 days later, the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. And the Lord said, the house of cards is coming down. This is what I was showing you. And so what we see today is the exposing of not only the Department of Justice, not only of the FBI, not only every swamp that's in D.C., but God is exposing Soros-funded district attorneys. Now, I remember 12 years ago, Soros was not really a household name. But people know who he is now. I remember when we were first, I think it was 2009, when Mom did a message in New Orleans. And at that time, we got a lot of questions, who's George Soros? And she actually spoke about him and his infiltration and his funding of the New World Order. Today, everybody knows who he is. In fact, I've even seen articles in mainstream media sources about Soros-funded DAs, Soros-funded justices or judges, Soros funded this, Soros funded that. God is exposing the New World Order so that we know their names, we know their faces. You cannot hide in darkness when people know who you are. Justice is coming, and part of that justice is to expose who these people are and bring them out of the darkness and into the light where they will face the justice of God. The next one, and let me tell you, a Soros-funded, now this was mainstream media. I mean, we get mad at Fox, but this was Fox. Today, released an article about a Soros-funded DA here in California who's going to let three gang members go who, in their gang activity, killed a two-year-old. And they're going to let these three gang, known gang members go. That's what Soros-funded DAs do. Prosecutors are resigning their posts because dealing with a Soros-funded DA is like hitting a brick wall. Justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. And this nation has a destiny before God. Justice is returning to our nation. The second, the church. There's been a deep refining in the church in the last several years. They've tried to silence us and shut our doors, but God rose up from his lofty throne to pour himself out on our nation. There is a renewed fire within pastors today that 5 years ago, we didn't see. The Black Robe Regiment. Who are the Black Robe Regiment? Those are pastors who see what's happening in the nation. They take those media reports, or they take and they research. They're researchers. And they take this detail or that detail, and they bring that forward to their people in truth and tell them what the Bible has to say about that topic. The Black Robe Regiment was a huge movement here in our country for decades and decades and decades. From the moment we landed, these pastors rose up. And they said, this nation has been dedicated to God, and we are going to make sure that the people that live here know what's going on, and we report to them what the Bible has to say about those things. That's what the Black Robe Regiment did. In fact, our founding fathers, when they wrote our Declaration of Independence, when they wrote our Constitution, when they went through and formulated our government, they poured over decades of sermons from the Black Robe Regiment so that they could take and apply those biblical principles to our founding documents and usher in a new form of government that was God-centered and would allow the inhabitants of this nation to find God and worship him and live according to godly principles. That's the Black Robe Regiment. And that is what our founding fathers used. What a beautiful thing. You know, we hear a lot of things. These statues are being removed of our founding fathers all over the country. What people don't tell you is that the majority of those that signed our Declaration of Independence were licensed ministers. They sought after God. The Black Robe Regiment is rising. And there are people, there are pastors in our country who, regardless of the cost, regardless of the price they pay and the persecution they endure, will not stop telling the truth. They will not stop telling the truth. Justice in the house of God. The unborn. Our pre-born citizens. The overturning of Roe versus Wade. June 24th of 2022 began the fight on the state level to ban abortion from our country. Believe it or not, this further exposes the Department of Justice and the media in their unwillingness to go after the propagators of the hate crimes since overturning of Roe. Day after day, crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pastors, pro-life churches, pro-life advocates are being bombed, they're being vandalized, they're being persecuted because of their stance for life every day. So what is happening is the DOJ is doing nothing except going after the parents that go to the school boards to defend their children. This is further exposing the Department of Justice. Since the overturning of Roe, we have 12 states that have eliminated abortion. Three additional states have severe restrictions, and clinics are closing left and right because they cannot make a profit under these conditions. 11 others have restrictions and consent requirements, like parental consent. People have to wait 24 to 36 hours, and they have to view their baby on an ultrasound, hear the heartbeat, before they can have an abortion. They are working to dial back abortion with each piece of legislation. So 26 states now have on the books the pathway to protect life in the womb. Justice is coming for our preborn citizens. Victims of COVID-19. This includes those who've lost family members, jobs, businesses, the vaccine mandates, and the economy as a whole. I believe this also includes those that under duress took the vaccine. And now they're fearful of what may happen to them now that the medical evidence over those that took that vaccine is coming out. And I believe that with repentance and a step of faith, God is going to protect those who took the vaccine under duress. As justice is released, it's going to fall upon those who unleashed and propagated this virus. We're going to see some people that are going to do some time and be held criminally and financially responsible for what's taken place under COVID. Justice. The next item is the elections. There are officials who are not in their rightful place. Remember the dream I had of the indictments that the judge was signing? Over 200 indictments of those who stole their seats. Now, I was praying about this because I really struggled. Lord, how does this work? I mean, some of those people aren't even in office now. How does this work? I mean, Biden shouldn't even be there. How is this going to work? And I believe that God is going to deal with them. If they're not in office and cannot be removed, God is going to deal with them. I'm not saying that he's going to take their life. Please understand that. I'm saying He is going to deal with them. The blood of the martyrs, past and present. We can go back all the way to the Huguenots who lost their life in Florida. We can look to our allies in Afghanistan in that terrible pullout. We can look to the Ukrainian, those Ukrainians who are being victimized by their own government as they're trying to propagate this war with Russia. But we also have to look to the 2,000 J6 prisoners, 1,100 of which are still awaiting trial, and a good chunk of those are still behind bars and have yet to see an attorney or judge. They're living martyrs who are enduring great persecution and suffering to stand for righteousness in our nation. I was going through my journal in preparation for this, and this word the Lord gave me actually some time ago. He said, J6, your vindication is coming. Prisoners of war, you will be no more. Truth is coming. You've been in the fire for long enough. Rise up and speak freedom to the J6 prisoners of war. That's just what they are, prisoners of war. Freedom, freedom, let's call it forth. That was the word the Lord gave me for them. And the final item, and like I said, this was not in a particular order, is our flag burned mercilessly in the streets throughout 2020. The flag represents an adamant stand against tyrannical rule. That's why Antifa burns it, that's why terrorists shred it, and that's why the rebellious stomp on it. Let me tell you how God is bringing justice to our flag. The ones sitting behind bars today to fight for free and fair elections, which at its core was taxation without representation, the thing that provoked the Revolutionary War, sing every night the Star Spangled Banner in their jail cells. Can you imagine being a jailer, having them in your cell, knowing in your head they're there unjustly? And this is what you hear every night. This can be heard echoing through the concrete prisons as their expression of freedom, their call for freedom. They still honor and believe in the flag that our men and women fought and died for. If you have not heard Mark Levin's account, or Mark Levin, his account of the history of the Star-Spangled Banner, I encourage you to Google it. Our flag represents a stand against tyranny, and we have to protect it. Our nation is one of the few in the earth today that still has a chance to fight against tyranny once the Biden and Obama regime are removed. That final thing is the fear of the Lord is going to be restored in our nation. So let us as his children seek him for this now. If we are to fulfill our destiny as a nation, the fear of the Lord is a key. So what is our destiny? And I've shared this before, but the Lord asked me to come back and revisit these things. So I pulled these things together that he put on my heart because we are about to go through a bumpy time and we need to anchor ourselves in him in a way that is unprecedented for us as individuals, as intercessors. It's important because we are the strength and stabilizing force. Just like the Lord told my mom when we started Joel's Army, we would be pressed down into the tectonic plates to stabilize the nations. In the greatest shaking a nation could endure, we are the stabilizing force. So our destiny, in 1607, when early settlers arrived at Cape Henry, Virginia, they descended from the ship and planted an old rugged cross, transported across the miles to install the new land. Reverend Robert Hunt, a man who understood covenant and knew the historical as well as the eternal importance of that moment, led the colonists in the following covenantal prayer. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. Talk about a visionary. May this covenant of dedication remain for all generations, as long as the earth remains. And may this land be an evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. Now, even today, I was weeping before the Lord, feeling like, Lord, it's actually yesterday, today, what is going on? That's what I was saying. What is happening? As the indictment for President Trump came forward, I said, what is happening? And the Lord took me back through all these things. And he said to me, are you willing to lay the destiny of this nation on the altar before me? Are you willing to entrust me with the destiny of the nation? I said, what? What does that even mean? I mean, it's the destiny, oh God. What does it even mean to lay it down? And he took me to Abraham, and he said, remember Abraham's seventh surrender. Genesis 22. I only have a few minutes, so I've got to go quickly. After these events, and I'm reading from the Amplified, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and then began the trip to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And Abraham said to his servants, settle down here and stay with the donkey, and I and the young man will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son. And he took the fire pot in his own hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac said to Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Isaac said, see, here are the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? Abraham said, my son, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two went on together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. Let me tell you, Abraham was what, 127, 37? I'm sorry, I don't remember the number off the top of my head. Isaac was not a two-year-old. Like we see in the little felt displays we watched in Bible class when we were 5 years old. Isaac was somewhere around 30 years old. Josephus says he was 25. The Hebrew sages say that he was 37. So let's just sandwich it in the middle. And he was about 33 years old. Abraham could not have wrapped that rope around Isaac and bound him. Were Isaac not a willing participant in what God was asking them to do? This was an act of absolute obedience. It was an act of surrendering the destiny. Abraham's destiny was wrapped up in Isaac. He surrendered even the promise of God that the seed would come through Isaac in this moment. And Isaac surrendered his own life for God. Can we wrap our heads around that for just a minute? The experience of laying himself on the altar, having Abraham tie him up, and he took hold of the knife to slay his son. I can only imagine what that moment was like. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged me, giving me your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and an ascending sacrifice instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided, Jireh. And it was in Shalem, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. This is where he laid his destiny and the destiny of his son on the altar. This is where Isaac allowed his own destiny to be placed on the altar. And an angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I've sworn by myself, says the Lord, that since you have done this and have not withheld from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and like the sand of the seashore. And your seed, capital S, will possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed, capital S, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves, because you have heard and obeyed my voice. And can you imagine that as he raised that knife, and as the Lord said, Abraham, lay not your hand upon your son, and he looked back and he saw that ram in the thickets, that he had an experience where he saw what Christ would do. Jesus said, Abraham saw. He saw. John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So in the last 2 days, I've been laying this nation on the altar, knowing the covenant that was made. I've been laying every single one of these items, these seven items, on the altar, knowing that God is going to bring justice not knowing how it's going to come about, but trusting Him. Because when we are done, remember, this is the year of revolution, when we are done with this, the fear of God is going to fall upon this nation in an unprecedented way, where people will fear using His name in vain because they do not want to offend our God. The Lord showed Mom that we would return to the innocence of the 50s. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's going to get a little rougher before it's over. And we are walking like Abraham, the 45 miles from where he was to the mount. That's what I feel like we're doing. We're walking the 45 miles. It's rough. We're in anguish. But on the other side of this, on the other side of this, justice will be had in our nation. And it's up to us, the intercessors, by the commission and the call of God, as He called Mom, to stand in the gap for the nation. 24 years ago, it's up to us to be the stabilizing force in the nation, recognizing and holding on to the promises of God. Hold on to the promises of God, because the revelation of God in the days ahead is going to be profound. The awakening began January 29th. And what did the Lord say? We would have liberty in 24, and His glory was going to pour out. God is on the throne. And we give Him thanks, and we worship Him for the victories He will bring. Justice is coming. Don't be afraid.